City Council come back from recess for consideration over 10 o'clock time certain. Carla, can you please read the title for 565?
Declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements from Northeast Gleason Street to 74 feet north of Northeast Division Street.
Wow, we've got a superstar lineup of public servants. Welcome. What are we looking at here?
Good morning, Mayor Adams. Before we get started, or first of all, joining me on my left, on my far left is Justin Douglas. Microphone working. On my far left is Justin Douglas of the Portland Development Commission, and on my immediate left is Sue Lewis, also of the Portland Development Commission. As a point of order, I had submitted an amendment in the Tuesday morning memo to append the name of the LID to the resolution title. Could we move that amendment?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Leonard? Fritz?
So just to clarify, this is to declare intent to initiate the local improvement district, and the amendment appends the name of the local improvement district to the title of the resolution. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So amended.
Thank you. Carla, if we could switch to the presentation. This first slide shows you the Gateway Urban Renewal Area and the streets in the Gateway Urban Renewal Area. I'm actually going to pass out the hard copies here if you want to take a look at those while you're looking at this. Portland Development Commission is providing a major amount of funding for this project, and one of the issues that we have in Gateway is that the connectivity is poor in Gateway, and a lot of the streets in Gateway are substandard or unimproved. And this project will take care of improving Northeast 97th Avenue between Gleason and Davis Streets, which are just east of the I-205 freeway. This next slide gives you a closer up view of the project location. You can see its proximity to the freeway and proximity to Gleason Street there. One of the challenges with this LID is that there's very little property on the west side of the street. That's ODOT right-of-way. And so the funding from PDC and the Bureau of Environmental Services was critical to making up that share of the cost that otherwise would not be assessed to the ODOT right-of-way. So in other words, we have a smaller number of properties that benefit from the project and therefore share in the cost of the improvement. More importantly, you can see that the location is really a prime location. It's very close to the junction of I-84 and I-205, yet despite that location, there's very little development on the street. Properties are severely underdeveloped. It's a pretty blighted area, so it certainly hasn't seen the economic renaissance that we'd like to see for that area. This is a closer-up view of the LID map, and you can see the properties in green are the properties that petitioned in favor. We have 66.5% petition support for this project. And we also have a number of properties that were drawn into the LID but were exempted from assessment. We may look at expanding the length of the project and then entering into negotiating extra work agreements with those property owners to either extend the improvements on 97th Avenue a little bit further to the south, and or provide a new east-west connection connecting 97th and 99th. So if you look at this slide, you can see that dotted line there connecting 97th and 99th. That's the approximate location of where a future east-west street connection would go per the Gateway Master Street Plan. Here's a picture of the west side of Northeast 97th Avenue. You can see that the stormwater, there's existing pavement on the street, but there's no stormwater drainage facility, so it runs off the side of the road and pools wherever the low point of elevation is. In this case, it's next to, it's in somebody's driveway. And the stormwater improvements will deal with all that. We think this area infiltrates really well and will be a good location to build swales and green street features. Here's an example of what it's like to park on the street now. If you pull up to the street and park there, you basically got a muddy mess along the side of the pavement, and the streetscape will be much more attractive when the project is complete. The bollard and fence that you see there is the ODOT bike path, which is immediately adjacent to the street. And this is just something I noticed the last time I was out on the street. There was a car break-in, and there was broken glass along the side of the street. One of the things that we hope will happen is that this project will spur some development activity and have more eyes on the street and make it less of a crime nuisance, if you will. And this last slide shows the concept plan for Northeast 97th Avenue. You can see the swales, the possible swale locations, and the various Green Street features that we'd be incorporating into the project. So that's an overview of my presentation. I wanted to turn it over to Justin and Sue to add a few additional remarks, and would be happy to answer any questions you might have. We have quite a few property owners here to testify as well.
Thanks, Andrew. Justin Douglas at PDC. Just wanted to say a few comments before turning it over to Sue and the folks who came to testify. We've heard loud and clear from the community that the state of the local infrastructure and gateway is just unacceptable. So PDC has been devoting a lot of time and resources and energy to addressing this. On a policy side, as you guys recall, we worked to update the Gateway Master Street Plan and appreciate council's support for that amendment, which was in October of last year. This particular project is really our first step in actually implementing some of those street improvements. It will not only improve an existing local street, but the developer who owns property adjacent to 97th Avenue will ultimately construct our first new local street in Gateway. So we're really excited about this project. And just one quick comment, if you're curious about why we chose this street, there are obviously many deserving streets in Gateway. The stakeholder committee that worked with us to adopt or amend the master street plan selected this street for first improvements for a couple of reasons. One, obviously because it was in great need, but two, because we wanted to make sure that the commitments that we used in city dollars towards improving these streets really went hand in hand, both with local development opportunities and with local property owners who supported this project. So we really hope that this sort of effort and this model is duplicated many times over in the future. And with that, I'll pass it over to Sue.
Good morning, Sue Lewis with Portland Development Commission. PDC is very excited to enter into this multi-agency collaboration. We will be implementing the Gateway Green Streets Master Plan that was adopted in 2008. And we hope that this will improve the pedestrian access and bicycle access to the multi-use path and make it a more pedestrian-friendly street. So thank you very much.
So if I could just, for the record, can you summarize again the total value of the project and then where the money's coming from?
Yeah, the total cost of the project is $1,157,000. The property owner's share of the project is I'm rounding it off to the nearest thousand, but the property owner's share is $439,000. Bureau of Environmental Services grant funding that being funneled through PDC is $417,000, and PDC's contribution is $302,000. So it's pretty close to a three-way split between the property owners, PDC, and BES.
Great. Thank you. Good work.
Yes.
Questions?
So you said there was 67% support?
66.5.
And what have there been remonstrances?
We don't start getting into remonstrances until we get to the LID formation hearing, which would be 4 weeks from today. I am not aware of any opposition to this project. In fact, one of the property owners who didn't sign a petition in favor indicated a strong support for the project and simply haven't been able to get a hold of him, but he expressed his strong support for the project. So again, I'm not aware of any opposition to the project at this time.
Thank you. And then explain to me Environmental Services. Explain to me Environmental Services involvement with grants. I wasn't following that piece of the report.
Several years ago, PDC applied for a 1% for green grant from the Bureau of Environmental Services. So this project was awarded $300,000 in 1% for green grant funds. And BES has also offered $117,000 in watershed investment fund grant dollars.
And what will that be used for?
This is the famous green streets.
So it will be used for the vegetated?
The bioswales, the street construction, the street trees, all the construction activities.
Thank you.
So I have a question, Andrew.
Green Street.
As you know, there's a lot of concern from people who live on streets that aren't paved and or do not have sidewalks. And what we typically respond to in my office when we get an email like that is you have to form an LID, and I always refer them to you. So in this project, you have various partners that are helping fund this program, PDC, BES, and the neighbors. Can you explain how that's different than the typical street improvement or sidewalk improvement project that would occur outside of a URA? What would the total funding of a project like this, for an example, be from those neighbors who wanted to do the exact same kind of project but didn't have the typical kind of partnerships that we have here?
Yes, Commissioner Leonard. It's kind of an interesting paradox because I'm sure you can appreciate I get hundreds, if not thousands, of calls in the course of the year from all over the city where people want help improving infrastructure. I think we've been relatively successful at seizing opportunities moving forward where there's interest in the financial ability to improve streets. Unfortunately, we're obviously only tackling a small percentage of the problem. I remember when I started getting involved at the at citizen level with this process, we had over 70 miles of dirt and gravel streets in the city of Portland. We're now just north of 60, and I hope to push that below 60 pretty soon. One of the paradoxes is that where we've been able to really knock out a lot of improvements is in areas like Lentz, where we have an urban renewal area. We've done almost 2 miles of street paving in Lentz, and we've dropped Lentz much further below on the rank of neighborhoods in the city of Portland that have unimproved streets. A lot of the LIDs that I've been moving forward have been commercial LIDs and a kind of a smaller number of residential LIDs. But the reality is that this tool as an option of using PDC funding would, of course, only be available in urban renewal areas. And so you know, most of the city of Portland is outside of an urban renewal area. So as good as this partnership has been, it would not be something that we could replicate in most other areas of the city.
And how about the BES money?
Well, that would be a policy decision for council.
What I'm trying to do is for people that are observing this process who are wondering about their street, but they live in Cully and they mm-hmm. don't live in an urban renewal area, is it accurate that they would have to fully fund the improvements of the street and the sidewalk and would not have available to them the city matching funds through BES and PDC that is available for this project?
Yeah, Commissioner, my starting point for discussion with property owners is that I start with the assumption that the property owners need to pick up the entire cost of the improvement. One of the things that I try to do when I'm putting these projects together is to communicate with BES and other potential partners about the opportunities that are coming in the door. And certainly if BES has an interest in funding projects in Cully or any other neighborhood, you know, I certainly can apply that funding towards an LID, but that's a policy decision for BES and for council to make in terms of whether they wish to fund a project. One thing I might note is that using an example of the Southwest Texas Green Street LID that we built several years ago, I mean, that was a long pressing problem that had festered for probably the better part of 20 years. We finally got that project done. In that particular instance, BES picked up all of the stormwater costs, but I should point out that the street costs were still pretty significant for the property owner. So even if, for sake of argument, I'm not suggesting that this would be the case, but even if, for sake of argument, BES stepped forward and said, we will pay for all the stormwater costs, there's still a challenge to coming up with all of the street cost. In this particular project, what was really critical is the PDC funding because, again, there was so much of the right-of-way along the I-205 freeway that couldn't be assessed. And so the property owner would have really had a big bill if they had to pick up that portion of the assessment that would have been due to the ODOT right-of-way. And one other note I might make, Commissioner Leonard, some of the biggest challenges in terms of project funding are not really what the scope of the project is or what the topography of the area is. It's what the density of the area is. I was working on a LID effort in Southwest Portland recently in the Markham neighborhood, and that project has been tabled for now. But in that particular instance, we have R7 zoning on 10,000 square foot lots. So you might have a corner lot with 100 foot frontages on two streets. That far and away is really the biggest determinant of how expensive a project is how intensively the area has been developed. I mean, it's the transportation and land use connection. So that's probably another discussion for another day, but I just thought I would flag that for you.
If I could, and this is, if I apologize to those of you watching, if it's not, if it's somewhat confusing why I'm going to pick up a little bit of where Commissioner Leonard left off, it's more of a larger issue. But if you'll look in the back of the handout, you will see that there are, the BES is paying for Green Street treatments, and you'll see at the corners that these Green Street treatments include curb extension swales. And the earlier discussion and action of the City Council to prioritize $15 million in savings towards Green Streets is evidenced and shows up in this project separately, separate pot of money, but they're spending $417,000 to do on this street exactly what they had concerns about doing in other parts of the city. And that discussion was absolutely positively Byzantine, mangled, and much of the reporting was incredibly incorrect. So I just want to point out to the public that despite all that brouhaha, BES invests in these kinds of facilities, in this case green facilities, because it is much cheaper than having to install a separate sewer system, and it is much more environmentally defensible than using sumps, which do not allow for the water full of petroleum products and asbestos brake linings and everything else to be injected directly into the groundwater. So we don't have any press in the room today, and it's, you know, always hard to connect the dots between
Randy Neves takes a
question. Oh, Randy Neves, good. Well, Randy, well, that, this is your opportunity.
That just cost you any further support with KGW, Randy. Mayor, I just may note on that point that it came to my attention recently. Commissioner Saltzman and I have been actually attending some community forums over the last couple of months, and it will be of no surprise to you that this issue occasionally comes up. And that was the clearest explanation I've heard in a long time of what we did, and I wonder if you'd be available tonight at 7.
I'm take some arrows and shots. I'd be happy to
give that answer in another forum. Thank you.
And the other is, you know, this is an example. The Texas LID was significantly cheaper because we used Green Street features to deal with the stormwaters. And again, the old gray pipe, he came in a little late. The old gray pipe approach, much, much more expensive. I mean, if we had to gray pipe the stormwater sewer system in Texas LID, we would have significantly more money. If we had to gray pipe the stormwater system here, Matt, it would be significantly more money. So thank you for bringing another Green Street project forward. Thank you. We'll go to the testimony. Matt, you missed it. Oh, yeah, there's $417,000 that you would want to try to spend in other areas that weren't legal. So who would you like to call first?
We have 7 people signed up. The first 3, please come on up, are Gordon Jones, Angela M. Jones, and Paul Wilkes.
And because this is, I think council is so enthusiastic about this project, it's that old phrase, gift horse, you know, feel free to be succinct. I take as much time as you want. Sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. My name is Gordon Jones. I'm a property owner, and I've been a developer in the Gateway area for the last dozen years or so. I'm one of the property owners that's very involved in this LID, and it will greatly benefit some of the property that I own in Gateway in that it will improve the area and allow for a development that I've been planning for a long time to go forward on property that I've been assembling between 99th and 97th. And I wanted to just point out quickly that this is the culmination of a lot of years of effort and a lot of planning documents, including I just went through my files the other day and very quickly pulled out the Opportunity Gateway Concept Plan and Redevelopment Strategy, which preceded the Urban Renewal District year 2000. And a lot of planning had been going on even prior to this. Another important document that addresses these kinds of improvements was the Central Gateway Redevelopment Strategy, which July of 2007. And then finally, and I think this will address Commissioner Leonard's questions a little bit more too, this is the Gateway Green Street Master Plan. These documents tend to end up on shelves, I know, and sometimes we don't refer back to them, but this very clearly lays out a strategy for green streets in Gateway, defines the area, discusses the geology, the percolation characteristics of the area, and how and why green streets make sense in Gateway. It's very flat, but has wonderful soils for infiltration. So this is a BES document. So they've been very instrumental in helping us try to figure out how to deal with stormwater issues in Gateway. The Portland Department of Transportation has been very instrumental in trying to help us develop a street plan. And neither of those agencies are here today, but trust me, PDC has led the way, of course, but BES and PDOT have been instrumental players throughout this process. This project is the first green street. It's a model green street in the Gateway area. I think that it will provide the example as we go forward now to try to implement this Green Street Master Plan on one way to do it, and it may be the best way, and that is through the LID process. There simply isn't money to acquire the right-of-ways, and we will be, when our project goes forward, we will be actually contributing the first street right-of-way to the city in the master plan. That will come in the form of a WUNERF, which actually is something that all of these documents discuss. So it'll be both autos and pedestrians combined. And then there will be a new connection street between 97th and 99th that will undoubtedly be in a future LID to the south. But one of the one mechanism that was always missing in a lot of our minds out there as we participated in these transportation planning committees and so on was, how do we get this right away? How do we acquire it? Well, I think the only way to really do it reasonably and fairly and equitably to the people that own houses where this street plan overlays is to do it with LIDs and the help of BES and PDOT and PDC through the TIF money that if you read this master plan, they lay out how the LID should work, and it explicitly says this needs to be a partnership between all these various agencies, and no more than, I think they say 30 or 33% of the cost should go to the landowner. So I think this is pretty well designed.
I think it's a fantastic design, and I don't know that the council knows or viewers know, but you have been positively relentless, and I mean that in a constructive way, to add all the punning words I can think of, as an advocate for transportation connectivity in the Gateway area. And I want to thank you. You've taken me on tours. You've been instrumental. And you have made a huge difference working with a lot of people. But I want to point out, you personally have made a huge difference in improving the quality of life and safety for East Portlanders. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Paul Wilkes, and I'm the administrator of Gleason Care Center. And my concern mainly is for the facility, the residents. In our neighborhood, that street is a high prostitution, high drug, high crime. And talking with all the players here, I feel that it would greatly enhance, hopefully reduce, but greatly enhance the safety of my staff, my residents, because I have very mobile residents who actually go out. Some go to the stores by themselves. When I first became the administrator there, we had to ask the panhandlers and some of the prostitutes, the drug dealers. We had to actually not let them. They were used to coming into the building. They were kind of taking over. We had to do a lot of excessive escorting them out, getting them out of the facility, getting them off the property. And during that time frame, they have, you know, threatened that, you know, you need to watch out for your residents that come out here. You know, make sure, you know, we're watching your car for you. And if, you know, you don't work with us, we won't protect your cars anymore. And so I think this would, you know, help the safety. And so I appreciate it very much. And I'm finished. Thank you.
Well, I agree that the design, including additional lighting and parking, safe parking, and the ability of people to walk freely will definitely be a key component to addressing the issues of prostitution, drug dealing, and others. Thank you.
My name is Angela Jones, and I'm a clinical case manager and admissions coordinator at Gleason Care Center. I just kind of want to follow in the same line that Paul's just mentioned to your counsel, and appreciate the time you've given us today. Over the 3 years that I have worked for Prestige Care and worked in this area, we're primarily serving seniors and often elderly family members that are coming to visit their loved ones. So we get a lot of very vulnerable individuals that, for whatever reason, are coming, whether they're here for a short-term rehab or they're coming for a longer-term stay in our residence and this is their home. Personally, I've been a victim of my tires being taken off my car. We've had many, many increases, especially over the last year, of break-ins just literally bashing our windows, and I think that's directly related to the fact that because we have taken a firmer stance and not letting somewhat crazed people run through our building during the day, use our bathrooms, use our phones to make their contacts or what have you. We've seen some backlash on those types of incidents. I think the main reason that I'm forward to you today is that in addition to the fact that this would greatly improve as far as the green concepts, improving our area, and a continued pride that I think the inherent neighborhood has in the Gateway area. As Mr. Jones has indicated, I think there's just so many more positives than negatives, but I really feel if we had an increased police presence, we have the increased lighting, there is something to be proud of on that street as opposed to it looking like a junkyard throwaway area. I think that it would solve a lot of these problems and provide a sense of safety, not only to employees, and, you know, you live in the city, things happen to your car, that's one thing, but I almost feel like we're held hostage by an aggressive panhandling ring that's going on in those particular corners, by drug deals that you literally see happen in front of you. And we oftentimes get, oh, call if you see something, we'll try to come down. Well, I'd probably be calling every day all the time. That's how bad it has gotten in the last year. So I implore you to strongly consider this improvement for that reason. I think it would make a lot of vulnerable people in our community feel much safer, in addition to beautifying an area that is growing and thriving and is, thanks to Mr. Jones and other community activists, increased the transportation directions that we've taken with the MAX line, and it's a win-win. So I do appreciate your time and consideration today. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
The next three are Erica Rice, Marcia Lemire, and Jackie Ellison. Please come on up.
Good morning. Welcome to City Council. We're glad you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes. Shall we begin with you?
I'm Marcia Lemire, and I am the Regional Director of Operations for Prestige Care. I oversee 11 care centers, Gleason Care Center is one of them. And I just want to say that I am concerned about the safety of our residents and the safety of the staff. And I've heard from staff at Gleason Care Center over the years about the flop house, the drug house that's on the corner right next to are, it would be on the northwest corner of the area. And we have tried to do things like cut down the shrubs and the trees in between our facility and that house, which then goes out to the street, to try to make things safer. But I just it is of great concern, and I do, and on the other side of it, it has affected our business. These are, you know, vulnerable elderly, and they're looking for a care center. And when they come to look at Gleason Care Center versus somewhere else, and it is right next to what appears to be an obvious drug house, flop house, whatever, and what they see going on in the streets, why would you want to bring your, you know, vulnerable person there? And again, like Angela said, the people that come to visit are often the spouses who are elderly and that kind of thing. So I am here on behalf of our business as well as the safety of our staff and our residents. And one other point, Angela brought up the issue of transportation. Many of the, we consider line staff who work in the nursing home are, minimum wage earners, low wage earners, and they have to use public transportation. And we have, of course, night shift and evening shift workers because we staff around the clock. And so for them to have a safe place where they can come and, you know, get to and from the facility and not feel afraid of what's going on. And there have been many goings on in the property next door that, you know, all the stories over the years and calls I've gotten and that kind of thing. So I would greatly appreciate being able to move forward with this project. Thank you.
Thank you for putting up with what you have.
My name is Erica Reese. I'm the Social Services Director at Gleason Care Center. And I guess I think that other people who have come up have covered it pretty well, but I'm just going to share a personal experience that I've had. This last summer, in broad daylight in the middle of the afternoon, my personal vehicle was stolen, and I was not able to replace it for several months. So subsequently began riding my bike to work, which was a positive experience. But one thing that I can say about that experience is that from the route that I was taking along 205, I actually began to detour and start getting off at the MEX bus stop and going around and taking the street because of the fact that when you reach right before our facility, the standard of that bike path and area deteriorates. There's broken glass on the riding area. You know, you can see where the homeless people have knocked down, you know, the, you know, parts of the poles that are separating the parking and the sidewalk, and it just is, in general, better for me to ride in traffic than use the bike path that was provided. That's just kind of just a little tidbit of why I think it's a wonderful opportunity that we have to restore this area and make it user-friendly for the entire community, whether it's for pedestrians, people parking, using the bike path just to pass through.
And this Green Street does include a bike facility, right? Yep. Thank you. Hi.
My name is Jackie Ellison. I really have nothing new to add. Everybody's pretty much covered it.
Well, thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Is everyone else? Thank you. You can return to your seats. Is everyone else that wishes to testify in favor of the council calendar item?
We have two more people who signed up.
Do you want to testify?
I'd like to, please.
Please, yeah, absolutely. Come forward. If you want to, the remaining two, if you want to testify.
My name is Kurt Chacuzio, and I've owned property on that street for about at least 15 years and been watching it constantly go downhill. And I think that the street, along with possibly a zoning out there, a new zoning instead of just a residential into a EXD and an enterprise zone, I think will help the area immensely. There's very few jobs out there, and I think the Green Street will do a lot for the area, and hopefully this will come to pass.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all for your testimony. Really appreciate it. This is a resolution, so unless there's additional council discussion, I will ask Carla to call the vote.
Oh. Okay.
Fish.
Well, Andrew, thank you for an excellent presentation. We have come to expect this level of quality every time we get one of these things, and he does a great job for the city. And for those of you who don't know, he's also a big soccer fan. and can be found at UP on any given Friday night in the fall. Thanks to all the citizens who took time out of their busy lives to come and share their perspective, and particularly the public safety issues you've raised. You've got our attention, so thank you for that. And on the question of this really unique funding mechanism to bring together TIF and the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Bureau of Transportation together to form an LID, this is good news, and it's a very promising model. To those of you who worked so hard on this, thank you, because I have a hunch we'll be able to replicate this in other urban renewal districts. And this is exactly the way we should be using tax increment financing dollars to improve our infrastructure. So thanks to all, and thank you, Mayor, for your leadership on this. Aye.
Leonard?
We did a project just like this on Southeast 92nd between Powell and Holgate, and it was transformational for that street. It's just an incredible improvement, and I know that it will have the same effect on this street, so I'm really happy to support this. Aye.
Fritz?
I see this as a catalyst project for the Gateway Area Regional Center, and it's sometimes PDC helps to build buildings or provide particular somethings, but this is a basic service that really needs to be provided in the middle of a regional center. So I'm very appreciative of everybody who's come in today to support it, and for the property owners who hopefully will continue to support it as the project moves forward. Also want to thank Arlene Kimura and Linda Robinson and all the others at the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association and the folks at the Gateway Area Business Association. This is an area where there's a lot of people who are very invested, and I think, Mr. Jones, your comments were very well said in terms of this will provide the mechanism that you can then develop more, and then that provides more tax increment, which will really help this area take off. And it's certainly poised to do so with Max there and with so many invested good citizens and with good work by city staff. So thank you very much, and good work, Mayor Adams, for leading this. Aye.
Adams.
Well, this is thank you for the kind words. This is the great work, though, of Sue and Justin and Andrew and all the citizens. It's going to be a great project for you, great project for the neighborhood and the city as a whole. You're going to have one of the most advanced, greenest, good-looking streets in the city, and you deserve it. So I'm happy to vote aye. So approved. We are in recess until 2.
Do we have 596?
What's that?
596.
Did I miss one?
Maybe I missed it.
We did 596.
Are we doing 596?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We are adjourned until 2 p.m. In recess till 2 p.m.
Sorry.
Sorry. We were working.